بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the عمدة الأحكام, the reference on rulings, and the hadith of tonight is hadith number 29. This is concerning the غسل from جنابة, taking a غسل, a bath, from a state of sexual defilement. عن عائشة, the hadith begins. عن عائشة, the first one is عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اغتسل من الجنابة غسل يديه. And in another narration, ثم يفرغ بيمينه على شماله فيغسل فرجه ثم and this is for Muslim, this narration. ثم توضأ وضوءه للصلاة ثم اغتسل ثم يخلل بيديه شعره حتى إذا ظن أنه قد أروى بشرته أفاض عليه الماء ثلاث مرات ثم غسل سائر جسده. And also in Muslim there is a wording ثم غسل رجلي وكانت تقول كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد نغترف منه جميعا. The hadith of Aisha, she said رضي الله تعالى عنها, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, whenever he took a bath from Janaba. Janaba is a state of sexual defilement. He started by washing his hands. And then, this is an agreed upon hadith, by the way, and then there are difference of wordings, and they are very beneficial. And then would pour water on his left hand, using his right hand, on his left hand to wash his private part. And then performed ablution like that for the prayer. After that, he would put his fingers in water and move the roots of his hair with them. And then after that, he would pour three handfuls of water over his head. And then pour water all over his body. And she used to say, I used to take the bath with the Prophet ﷺ from the same, using the same pot, taking from it. The narrator is Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, the mother of the believers. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father. And we gave a biography on this in hadith number 3. The subject is explaining the manner of ghusl, of taking a bath from a state of sexual defilement. And the state of sexual defilement is defined legally as the state which necessitates taking a bath, either through due to semen ejaculation or sexual intercourse with the wife, between the wife and her husband. This is the legal meaning of janaba. Otherwise, the linguistic meaning is restricted only to the ejaculation, but the legal meaning covers the ejaculation as well as the sexual intercourse. So he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to start by washing his hands, meaning the palms in this case. And then will take some water with his right hand and put it on his left, pour it on his left to wash his private part. And she said then he would perform his wudu, the same ablution we do for salah. And in the narration from Muslim, there is an additional statement here. She said, ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْ, then he washed his feet. And this wording is of Muslim. However, Al-Bukhari did not mention this. And this narration came from the narrator in Muslim known as Abu Muawiyah. Some of the scholars doubted the authenticity of this statement. And our Shaykh rahimahullah said, it's apparent that it is incorrect in the hadith of Aisha from the way of Muslim. Rather, it is correct from the hadith of Maymuna. The hadith of Maymuna, which we will talk about shortly. By virtue of all its ways of narrations in Bukhari and Muslim. So in this case, there will be no problem. So therefore, he will make his perfect ablution. Perfect ablution. And this indicates, as will be supported by the hadith of Maymuna, that this includes the feet as well. Then afterwards, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اغتسل ثم اغتسل, then he begins his bath, to take the bath, and goes through the roots of the hair, until when that's complete, he would pour water after rubbing his hair. He would pour water that the skin, the whole skin of the head has become wet. He would pour water thrice and wash the rest of the body. Now, the overall explanation of the hadith. In this hadith, the mother of the believers explains the manner of ghusl, the bath taken by the Prophet ﷺ following a state of sexual defilement, that whenever he intended to perform the ghusl, he would begin by using the water, of course, to wash his hands, because the hands are the tool for scooping. The hands are the tool for scooping. Then afterwards he would make his full wudu, the full ablution, which includes washing the mouth, washing the nose, and washing his face and his hands all the way to the elbows, including the elbows, and then wipe over his head and also wipe his ears, then wash his feet, including the ankles, then begins to wash the entire of his body, goes thoroughly wetting his hair with his fingers separate, goes over the hair until he is satisfied that he completely rubbed and wetted his hair. Then he would follow that by pouring 3 pour water thrice. Afterwards he will finish with his body one time, meaning wash the entire body once. And in this hadith, Aisha also reported and made clear that she used to make this ghusl with the Prophet, take this ghusl with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام from the same pot, scooping from it both. Why did she mention this? She mentioned this in order to assert that she knew the manner in which the Prophet ﷺ did the bath and the ghusl. Meaning that this is not something that she did not see. Rather, she saw and she was engaged in it. So, the benefits of this hadith, number one, first, this hadith makes clear the legality of al-ghusl from sexual defilement in this manner described by Aisha, following the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. This description is the perfect description for the ghusl. The sufficient one would be to cover his entire body with water. Pour water over his body entirely. This is the mujzi. This is what is sufficient. As like someone dips himself in the sea. That would be sufficient. But the perfect one is the complete one described by Aisha in this way. This hadith also tells us that the major state of impurity is greater than the minor one. Why? Because in this case, ghusl is required. And ghusl, bathing, is required to cover the entire body, including the head. However, in the minor ritual impurity, the obligation is to cover three parts and wiping over the head. The next benefit is that the permissibility for the man and his wife to take a bath using the same source of water, like the same pot, scooping from it together, and that this is permissible for the person in a state of sexual defilement as well to do the same. Also from this, the permissibility to mention the state of janaba, the state of sexual defilement, if there is a benefit. The next benefit is permissibility to wash to wash the head three times. Permissibility to wash the head three times. And that it's a must to allow the water to reach the roots of the hair. The second or the next benefit is no repetition in washing the rest of the parts. No repetition in washing the rest of the parts. Rather, pouring the water on the body once. And it is better to start with the right side of the body, because the Prophet ﷺ used to like beginning with the right, in terms of him putting his shoes and combing his hair and in his purification and in all of his affairs, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also reported. And also this is indicated by the hadith of Umm Atiyya, may Allah be pleased with her, when she was with other women washing the body of one daughter of the daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. After she died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam directed them and said, ابدأنا بيمانها بميامنها rather, begin with her right sides and the places of wudu. So if the washing of the deceased begins with the right, then by all means that to do that with the living takes also precedence. It's all fitting rather. The next benefit is that making tasmiyah, saying Bismillah, is not an obligation. Had it been an obligation, it would have been mentioned. The next benefit, the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his good treatment to his family. Where Aisha was saying, we both used to take from the same pot of water. And the next benefit, the merits of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the merits of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because they related to us the rulings, they related the rulings to us. And from this we know also the benefit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam having more than one wife. So they relate to us the rulings of Sharia, especially the most particular and most private. And from the benefits of that is the spread of Sharia, because the more people relate, then the more the Sharia will spread. There are other benefits as well, which we have mentioned specifically in a discussion that you can find on the site, and the wisdoms behind the Prophet ﷺ having the number of wives he had ﷺ. This concludes the topic of the first hadith, and then we move to the next hadith, what's the hadith of Maymuna, hadith number 30 from Umdat al-Ahkam. وعن ميمونة بنت الحارث زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها قالت وضعت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وضوء الجنابة فأكفأ بيمينه على يساره مرتين أو ثلاثة ثم غسل فرجه ثم ضرب يده بالأرض أو الحائط مرتين أو ثلاثة ثم تمضمض واستنشق وغسل وجهه وذراعيه ثم أفاض على رأسه الماء ثم غسل جسده ثم تنحى فغسل رجليه فأتيته بخرقة فلم يردها أو يردها فلم يردها فجعل ينفض الماء بيديه. ميمونة رضي الله تعالى عنها, ميمونة بنت الحارث, the wife of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, said water was placed for the ablution of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after janaba, after the state of janaba of sexual defilement, and he poured water with his right hand over his left twice or thrice, and then washed his private parts over, you know, he poured the water with his right hand over his left hand, meaning twice or thrice, and then washed his private parts and rubbed his hand on the earth or on a wall twice or thrice, and then rinsed his mouth, washed his nose by putting water in it and then blowing it out, arid. Then washed his face and forearms and poured water over his head and washed his body. Then he shifted from that place and washed his feet. I brought a piece of cloth, but he did not take it and removed the traces of water from his body with his hand. Maymuna bint al-Harith radiallahu ta'ala anha is the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and her sister is Lubaba al-Kubra, Umm al-Fadl, nickname Umm al-Fadl, and also the mother of Abdullah, the sons of Al-Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them all. And her other sister is Lubaba al-Sughra, her other sister is Lubaba al-Sughra, Khalid ibn al-Walid, the mother of Khalid ibn al-Walid. The mother of Khalid ibn al-Walid. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam married Maymuna the year 7th after Hijrah, when he performed the Umrah, Umratul Qada, or Al-Qadiyya. And he consummated the marriage with her in a place known as Sarf, which is between Mecca and Medina, between Mecca and Medina, after the death of her husband Abi Rahm bin Abd al-Uzza after the death of her husband. She was the last one whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to. She died in Sirf the year 51 after Hijrah. She died in Sirf the year 51 after Hijrah. Again, the subject of this hadith is explaining the manner of the taking the bath from Janaba, taking the ghusl. So the overall explanation of the hadith is that in this hadith, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Maymuna bint al-Harith, may Allah be pleased with her, described to us another manner in which the Prophet ﷺ performed the ghusl from Janaba, where she put the water which he needed for the bath, prepared it for him, and he poured water from his right over his left and washed it two or three times. Then he washed his private part in order to remove any remains from the remains of the sexual intercourse or the sexual state of defilement. Then he rubbed his hands on the ground or on the earth or on a wall twice or thrice, and then he washed his mouth and his nose and washed his face and forearms, then poured the water over his head, then washed his entire body. Then he moved from his place and then washed his feet in another place. Then she brought him a cloth to dry himself with, and he did not take it. And then he took off the water, shook off the water from his body and with his hands. Removed it with his hands. This hadith includes additional information from that is rubbing the earth after washing the private parts or the wall, because this speeds the removal of anything that may still remains on the private part. And also, let's remember here that the water was scarce. I mean, it wasn't that abundant in their times. And that's why this was needed to rub against the floor or the wall. And this would be better in terms of the purification. And the benefits of this hadith, number one, the legality to perform the ghusl for the state of Janaba in accordance with the manner described by Maymuna. Second benefit, that it is permissible for the woman to express that which could be shy for her to express, or it's bashful. Why? In order to explain the truth. And it is known that Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha is one of the wives of the Prophet, and Maymuna is one of the wives of the Prophet. And it is known that he is going to be in a state of sexual defilement either with her or with another one of his wives, and that this could be something bashful. But in order to make the truth clear, then it is inevitable. And also from the benefits is that the person begins with the wudu before the ghusl. And this wudu is sufficient, meaning if the person finishes the ghusl, the taking of the bath, he's not to repeat the wudu. And what about if the person touches his private part during the ghusl after the wudu? After making the wudu, We know that there are two opinions. One opinion, then it is a must for him or her to redo the wudu due to the touching of the private part. However, the preponderating opinion is that mere touching does not invalidate the wudu unless, as long as it is not meant to be out of desire, out of sexual desire. So the correct opinion that it is not, it does not affect or invalidate the wudu if the person touches his part athna al-ghusl, during the bath or taking the bath. Also here it is asserted the matter of washing the head is the other benefit is the permissibility to wash the feet after the ghusl, after the ghusl. But however, this is if it is needed, if it is needed. Because earlier in the hadith, we know that in the narration of Bukhari, the Bukhari did not mention the washing of the feet after the ghusl. So therefore, it is apparent, and Allah knows best, that this is if it is needed, and that the Prophet ﷺ used to wash this sometimes and leave it other times. The next benefit is that the private part is to be washed with the left hand. The private part is to be washed with the left hand, whether this is due to sexual defilement or otherwise. The other benefit is, if water is scarce, then one should use this means of striking or rubbing against the earth or the wall, as came in the hadith of Maymuna. From these two narrations of Aisha and Maymuna, it is evident that rubbing the body is not a condition for ghusl. It is evident that rubbing the body with the hands upon taking the bath is not a condition, because it is not mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used to rub his body while taking the ghusl. However, if the person fears that the water may not cover his body entirely, then let him pass his hands over his body to make sure that the water covers his body. Especially if there was, he didn't take a bath for, or he didn't hasten to take the bath, then there could be some remains of oily material on the body, and this could be taken out with the rubbing to ensure that the water reaches the skin. The next benefit the permissibility to use the handkerchief to why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did not forbade this. He did not forbade. Rather, he termed it, returned it, because it could be the possibility that the handkerchief may have contained some filth on it, and that's why he returned that. He didn't use it. Or it could be also possible that he feared that this could be a hardship on the ummah to use the handkerchiefs upon every wudu or ghusl or the like. And this is seems to be indicated by the fact that had it not been the habit for the Prophet to use it, Maymuna would not have brought it to him. So what's apparent here, that this was something normal, a habit, but he returned it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a certain reason, and therefore it is permissible to use the handkerchief. The next benefit, and the last one, is the permissibility to take off the water with the hands, and whatever was reported about the prohibition concerning this matter is weak and does not constitute a proof. So the permissibility is that it is permissible for the person to use the handkerchiefs, and if he doesn't, then it is fine, no problem for him or her to take off the water with the hands. And also, before we end, there is a benefit here, clear benefit also, in the fact that Maymuna prepared the water for the Prophet ﷺ. There is a benefit here that it is the issue of the woman serving her husband, and this is evident from the fact that Aisha and that Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha prepared the water for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So finally, therefore, we conclude that these are two of the ways of ghusl which are perfect ways of ghusl reported by Aisha and by Maymuna. And if someone takes by Aisha and then does the ghusl according to the way Aisha described, or they do it according to Maymuna, sometimes doing this and sometimes doing that, this will be reviving of the entire sunnah. This will be reviving of the entire sunnah. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.